Well, let's read together 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. In this first half of 2 Kings 12, we read of the plans of good King Jehoash, or Joash of Judah, to repair the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. 2 Kings chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah, or Zibiah, of Beersheba. Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And Jehoash said to the priests, "All the money of the dedicated gifts that are brought into the house of the Lord, each man's census money, each man's assessment money, and all the money that a man purposes in his heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it themselves, each from his constituency, and let them repair the damages of the temple wherever any dilapidation is found." Now it was so by the 23rd year of King Jehoash that the priests had not repaired the damages of the temple. So King Jehoash called Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said to them, "Why have you not repaired the damages of the temple? Now therefore do not take any more money from your constituency, but deliver it for repairing the damages of the temple." And the priests agreed that they would neither receive any more money from the people nor repair the damages of the temple. Then Jehoiada the priest took a chest, bored a hole in its lid, and set it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priests who kept the door put there all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. So it was, whenever they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up and put it in bags and counted the money that was found in the house of the Lord. Well, let's mention a few background notes. King Jehoash, or Joash, as he's also called, was the youngest king to ascend the throne in Judah. We see from the last verse of chapter 11 that he was only 7 years old when he became king. He was the only son of King Ahaziah that was saved alive when wicked Queen Athaliah usurped the throne in Judah. Joash was hidden by the high priest and his wife in their temple apartment until he was 7 years old. We see in verse 2 that Joash was a good king. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So we see that a primary factor for Joash being a good king was the fact that he had a good teacher. He was instructed in the things of the Lord by Jehoiada the high priest. This instruction started when Joash was only a toddler and continued all the way through the days of Jehoiada the high priest. It shows the value, doesn't it, of a good Christian upbringing, whether it's in the home, in the Sunday school, or a Christian school. In verse 3, we read that the high places were not taken away, that people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Now, these high places were not only where worship was made to the pagan gods, but in some cases, it was where sacrifices and offerings were made to the Lord. But this was wrong, because according to Deuteronomy chapter 12, all sacrifices, all offerings were to take place at the central sanctuary, which would be ultimately in Jerusalem. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, we read, "Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses." So it seems that some of the good kings of Judah, like Joash and others, allowed these high places to remain because of this difference. It wasn't always pagan worship that was going on these high places. Sometimes it was worship to the Lord. It was wrong to be done there, but it wasn't as bad as pagan worship. Only in Josiah's revival, which comes down in about 621 BC, is about 200 years later from this time, do we read of a clean sweep All the high places are removed so that they were not rebuilt. As a good king, Joash desired to repair the house of the Lord. The temple had fallen into disrepair during Athaliah's reign, and besides, it was more than 150 years old at this time. The plan was to take certain of the monies that were collected by the priests, according to the law, and use these monies to repair the temple. The plan sounded good, but it didn't work. Apparently, the people did not give freely, and the priests did not use the money that they did collect, that did come in for temple repairs. So a new plan was proposed. A chest with a slot in it was placed in the temple area where people could give voluntarily by placing their money directly in the chest. This money would go directly to the repair of the temple. The plan worked. The people gave and the temple was repaired. Now, I think we see some lessons about giving here, giving to the work of the Lord. In fact, that brings us to our doctrinal points or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one then, the Lord's people will give voluntarily when they know where the money is going. The Lord's people will give voluntarily when they know where the money is going. Under the law, the priests were entitled to live off a certain portion of the offerings that were brought to the temple. So the priests here reasoned that since not enough money was coming into the temple treasury, they were entitled to meet their living expenses first. Well, as a result, no money was going to the temple project. It was all going into the priest's pockets. Not that they were squandering it, but the people didn't want to give when they didn't see how their money was being spent. People don't like to give when they don't know where their money is going. Do you? Would you give voluntarily to Social Security, for example? I don't think so. It's not that you don't care for the elderly or for your own security, but you don't know where that money's going. Don't for a minute think there's a vault up there in Washington labeled Social Security and it's all going in there. No way. See, people don't want to give when they don't know where their money is going. The same is true in the Lord's work. The Lord's people don't want to give when they don't know where their money is going. But the Lord's people will give voluntarily when they know where their money is going. Look at verse 10. Under the new plan, the people knew where their money was going. Notice that the money was counted by both the high priest Jehoiada and a royal scribe. That's a good check. Good lesson for us to have a check like that. But the people knew where the money was going. And thus they gave voluntarily because they knew where the money was going. You know, for 20 years now, I've been writing this publication, Devotions for Growing Christians. This is a faith ministry, and each year we report to our readers where the gift money is going. How much for the printing, how much for postage, etc. We have never been in the red. This is over 20 years now. We have never been in the red. I think it's because the Lord's people know where the money is going. That's certainly one factor. The Lord's people give voluntarily when they know where the money is going. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord's people will give voluntarily when they see what the money is doing. The Lord's people will give voluntarily when they see what the money is doing. Look at verse 6. Now it was so by the 23rd year of King Jehoash that the priests had not repaired the damages of the temple. Under the original plan, apparently a number of years went by and no work was being done. They didn't even have one of those building fund signs with a thermometer on it to show some kind of goal. Well, the Lord's people will not give voluntarily to a project like that. They want to see some results. Under the new plan, the chest was emptied periodically, and the repair work went on. People could see results, and they continued to give. When the Lord's people see results, they give voluntarily. When the Lord's people see the fruit of a ministry, they give voluntarily. When the Lord's people see kids being saved at a Christian camp, they give to that camp ministry. When the Lord's people see the foundation built for a growing evangelical church, they give so the building can be completed. The Lord's people will give voluntarily when they see what the money is doing. Keep those doctrinal points in mind, okay? If ever you're involved in a nonprofit ministry or something, these are biblical principles of giving. And they're pretty practical, aren't they? But what about a further practical application? When plan A is not working, try plan B. Practical application. When plan A is not working, try plan B. The original plan for financing the temple repairs did not work. It wasn't a bad plan. It just didn't work. So what did they do? Did they keep trying the same old plan, hoping that somehow it would work? No. Did they quit? Well, when you read verse 8, you can see that some of the priests definitely wanted to quit. And the priests agreed that they would neither receive any more money from the people nor repair the damages of the temple. But they finally changed plans. And from the parallel passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 8, it looks like King Joash may have been the one that came up with a new plan. Because we read 2 Chronicles 24 verse 8, "Then at the king's commandment they made a chest and set it outside at the gate of the house of the Lord." And so at the command of the king, the high priest Jehoiada took this chest, cut a hole in it, put a slot in it, and put it in the temple area where the people could voluntarily give their money. Kind of like a giant piggy bank there. And guess what? The people gave. Probably some of the priests laughed at this novel idea when it was first proposed. "What is this thing? We've never done anything like this before. Hey, what is this? Some kind of piggy bank in the temple area?" But the plan worked. It worked. When plan A is not working, try plan B. Don't be such a traditionalist that you are unwilling to change to plan B if plan A isn't working. As long as your plan Bs are not unbiblical, be willing to flex when plan A is not working. Illustration. I remember running a teenage winter retreat some years ago, where I was not only the speaker, but I was heading up the program as well. And I remember the first day quite well. After an exhausting day of activity and a big evening meal, everyone was falling asleep as I gave my evening talk. Well, what did I do? Did I get mad at everyone for not staying awake while I was preaching? No. Well, maybe a little bit. But after praying about this matter, I changed plans. Instead of preaching after supper, we had a Bible study during supper. It worked perfectly, even though I had to scrap some of my sermon notes. No one fell asleep, and the Lord really did bless in a big way. When plan A is not working, try plan B.